Okay, biblical roles, here we go. There are two elements to the role for each spouse, and two elements and a response from each spouse. Okay, so we're going to talk about the role first, and then your response to your spouse's role. Probably sounds confusing, but it'll all become clear when Abby Evans reads the Bible. Okay, so each spouse has a core responsibility. This is what God has made the husband and the wife to do. And each spouse has a core response to that responsibility of their spouse. Abby, can you read Ephesians 5, 21 through 33? Yes, you got it.
Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it, just as Christ does the church, for we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband.
Great. Thanks, Abby. Okay. So there's a lot of stuff in that passage, and this is what we're going to pull out. The core role of a husband is the leader. This is the core role of the husband. And this is a loaded statement, right? So remember, we need to approach this from a biblical worldview, not a worldly worldview. The example given for the husband is who? Jesus. And how did Jesus lead? Was he like, I'm in charge, you do what I say? No, obviously. It's servant leadership. That's how Jesus led. Husband, you are not to lead however you want to, but how God wants you to. Jesus, we see this example in his life. He submitted to the Father's will. This is delegated leadership. God has given you this role, and you will be held accountable. So your family is ultimately God's, and you're responsible to lead it. And this is why we are huge on community, on marriages, being around other marriages, getting help. This is why men, we really encourage men to surround themselves with other husbands, because we need help. This the tall order is too great for any man to bear by himself. I really believe that. It has to be done in dependence on God, surrounded by other men. So what this means practically is that basically you are responsible for everything. You're the leader. You're responsible for it all. Finances, how your children are raised, what you have for dinner. Everything stops with you. The buck stops with you, men. And each person leads differently, right? We're not all wired to be like the get up and take charge leader. You know, different gifting, different personalities, experiences. But we're all called, the husbands are all called to lead. And so a good leader, one of the hallmarks of a good leader is to delegate responsibility based on your strengths. So one element of leading is figure out what your wife is better than you at and free her up. Delegate that leadership to her. Delegate that to her if she's gifted at it. And for most of us here, that's probably many things or way more things our spouses are more gifted at than we are. Being a leader does not mean you do everything, right? And the tendency for young leaders is to want to control, right? We get insecure. So we're not going to let others who are maybe more gifted than us do things. We're like, oh, I need to be the leader. I need to get this done. All right, this is how I think we should do it. But delegation doesn't mean that you're no longer responsible for it. So you still need to be invested, okay? So if I delegate something to Megan, let's say, hey, Megan, I want you to think through our vacation coming up. You're really good at details. Can you like plan stuff out for us to do? Then that doesn't mean I'm like aloof or like, oh, how's it, you know, whatever. I'm not even thinking about it. I want to be engaged. I want to be checking in. Hey, how's that going? What can I do? Thanks for doing that. You're doing great. It's still taking responsibility of it, but I'm delegating it to Megan because she's more gifted at it than I am. That's still a part of leading. And men, just know you are going to mess us up at times because none of us are perfect. We're going to lead imperfectly. Sometimes there will be times where we take too much control. A lot of times for men tend to be passive. And so there'll be a lot of times where balls will get dropped because we are just being passive and not thinking through areas of our marriage or our lives or our finances or whatever. It's okay. It's okay if we struggle and fail. Marriage is something that you learn as you go. But again, it takes humility, like Christ's example of humility. He did it perfectly, but he was still humble. So us, when we don't do it perfectly, how much more do we need to be humble? We own it. We apologize. We work through it. We grow. Okay, and be proactive. That kind of relates to the passivity for the men. Be proactive. Look ahead. Plan ahead. I do not like planning, but it has been helpful to our marriage and our lives when I sit down and plan and like I have to grit my teeth while I do it, but I'd rather just do. But planning, thinking ahead has been very helpful. And it's a way that I lead Megan and I lead my family through doing that. Okay? So that's the core role of a husband is the leader. Servant leadership. Core response of the wife. So this is not the core role of the wife. The core response to the husband's leadership, to his role as leader, is to submit to her husband's leadership. You see that in verse 22. And again, this is a very loaded statement. So this is what that doesn't mean. It doesn't mean you are a doormat. It doesn't mean you don't have an opinion. It doesn't mean that you do not reprove your husband when he is out of line, which he will be on many occasions. It doesn't mean that you are less than or weak in some way. It is not an issue of equality at all. It is an issue of role. There are times where you need to clearly communicate your opinion, even to correct your husband where he is not leading as Christ is leading, as Christ leads. You know, submission is such a touchy word because people think, oh, it just means you just do what he says. But that's not the biblical view of it. It's you are called to submit to his leadership. That does not mean you don't have a voice. This actually should provide freedom and joy and peace to submit to a guy who is trying to follow Christ and trying to lead like Christ led, trying to lay down his life for you. That brings freedom and joy and peace. You know, from a Christian worldview, it's you're not any more important or significant or valuable based on your responsibility, your leadership, right? That's different than what the world says. The world says, oh, you lead in this or you have this responsibility. You're somehow higher. So it's not an issue of value at all. It's an issue of role. Everyone is actually called to submit to someone, right? Jesus submit himself to the Father. The husband submit to Jesus. Wives submit to husbands. That's to the Lord. And it's really an issue of faith. Right, especially for the wife, this is a big faith thing. It can be very challenging, right? Basically, you're following a guy, you're submitting yourself to a guy who is broken. That takes faith, right? And your faith cannot be in your husband. Your hope cannot be in your husband. Your faith is ultimately in Christ. You're like, I'm trusting Christ that I've married this man who is following him. And this is why we encourage people, marry someone who is following Jesus. And wives, marry a guy who loves Jesus, because ultimately you're following a guy who is following Jesus or not. Right? It's ultimately submitting to God. And there'll be times, wives or women, where you will yield to your husband, you will follow him, and he will make the wrong call. And that is probably a very tough spot to be in. You can call up Megan and empathize together because She's lived in that many a time. You might suffer in the short term even. You might be like, I knew it. I knew this was wrong, and I followed this guy, and he led us both into a pit, and here we are in this pit. But that is a time where you can demonstrate to him that you are still behind him, and you still follow him. You can be a huge voice of grace into his life. And God will bless your marriage ultimately because this is you are following his design for it. I saw this. My grandma and grandpa, my grandma dominated my grandpa and pretty much told him what to do. Did I share this with you guys? I think I did, yeah. And it was what she wanted in a sense. Like, she just told him what to do, and so she kind of had her way. But both of them were miserable. My grandpa had like given up at some point and was just passive and didn't really ever speak up for himself. And my grandma was miserable. You'd think, oh, she'd be the happy one because she got everything she wanted. He would just do whatever, and they did whatever she wanted to do. They were both miserable because this was not the way God had designed it, and that's the space they were living in. God will bless you guys when you guys live in these, when these roles are lived out. It's a beautiful thing, and God will really bless your marriage. And again, for, you know, like we said with the men, women, this is a great place to have other married women in your lives. Because honestly, sometimes you may need to just call someone up and be like, hey, this is what happened. I tried to submit to this guy, you know, and follow his lead, and this happened. And I spoke up about it, but he still decided it. It was hard, and you know, I'm not really sure what to do or how to love him through it. That's great. That's a great spot where, you know, your wives can just commiserate with one another. Like, I know, sister, I know. It's hard. Sometimes you guys need to let your husband crash and burn to help him grow. But your role is to follow him through that. Again, you have a voice. So speak up and share. I don't think this is a good idea. I'm behind you. I don't think this is good. Or even, hey, you seem a little undecided about this. What do you think about doing this? Can we just do this? Or maybe it's just like, hey, I've been thinking through the kids' school. What do you think about this? And the guy's like, oh, I haven't really thought about that. So, yeah, that sounds good. Or let me think about that. Express your voice. You guys are gifts to your husband. And here's the challenging part. Submission is not submission when you agree, right? Submission is easy when you agree. You're like, oh yeah, that sounds good. I was thinking that too. So I'll submit. I'll follow that leadership. It happens most of the time when you are not agreeing on something. That's where the rub is, and that's where the challenging part is. And ladies, again, like the men, you will fail at this. You will struggle. It will be hard. There'll be times where you might get angry with his decision, or even how he's making a decision. You might want to power up and take over. It's okay. There is grace for you guys too. You will grow. And if you're struggling, again, get help. All right, so husband's primary role is?
Leading.
Leader. And wife's primary response to that role is?
Submission.
Okay, cool. All right, now here's the wife's primary role. Her role is the helper, as we see in Genesis 2. She's the helper. This is not a weak role, like I need someone to like come alongside me and help. Right? The Holy Spirit is referred to as the helper. Equally God in the Godhead. Same word is used, paraclete, for Holy Spirit helper. Wife as helper. The role is to come alongside her husband and to help move the kingdom of God forward, help move her husband forward. And how this looks depends on what's best for your family, you know, based on your gifting. Again, based on your gifting, personality, experiences. But this role is very powerful. You wives will have a huge influence on your husband, more than anyone else in the world, and it would be profound in his life. And if you guys are blessed with kids, your role is profound there, right? Because you will demonstrate for them, basically, you're submitting to this guy. You're basically trusting God, and you're demonstrating, modeling for your kids what it's like to trust God and submit to authority, and even showing them how should they view submission. So in this role, you're kind of constantly asking yourself, what is helpful for my husband? Or what is helpful for my family? And this is not the same across the board, right? All of you guys are different. You're wired differently. So what might be helpful to Brett as a husband will be different than what might be helpful to Ryan as a husband, or what might be helpful for me as a husband. So a lot of this for you ladies is to kind of learn, what is most helpful for my husband? So it may be, hey, it's really helpful if I share all my thoughts with him, if I just download all my thoughts about, you know, these 10 areas of life. Here are my thoughts, here are my thoughts, here are my thoughts. Or it may be helpful if I come to him and say, hey, what do you think about this? And then we'll ask, or hey, can I help you with that? Or what would be most helpful right now? A lot of times Megan will just ask, hey, what can I do to help? Or what would be most helpful? Or even sometimes in a moment of conflict or tension, she's like, hey, what would be most helpful right now? And that's really demonstrated to me that she's behind me and she's wanting to help, and her heart is to help. So trying to figure out what is most helpful to this man and how to communicate that to him. And now the husband's response to the wife's role of helper, husband's response is to cherish her, to appreciate who she is, to communicate that regularly. Right? Adam's response to Eve was, wow. Right? We see the example of Christ, the way Christ loved the church. Cherish the church. Lay down his life for her. So husbands, men, for you guys to just think, this woman needs to hear regularly from me that she is special. That I don't take her for granted. I appreciate who she is. I appreciate what she does. I appreciate having her in my life. Again, when you're surrounded by other men who are working to have a great marriage, this will spur you on to do well. Remember, we're following Christ's example. And when we talk about this, you know, we usually share the greater call is for the men, like the higher challenge is for the men in a way, because our example is Christ. We're supposed to model ourselves after Christ and follow Christ, who lived perfectly, who laid down his life, sacrificial love. And I think men are the ones who fall short in most marriages and aren't doing well. Because men are not living this out. Excuse me. We cherish. That's our response. We don't take for granted the helper. We cherish her. You guys will spend a lifetime learning how to do this, right? And this is not going to be perfect. You're not going to get married and walk down the aisle and be like, all right, I'm ready to embrace my role. I'm the perfect leader. Or I'm the perfect helper. Or I respond perfectly to my spouse. But this is so good. If you guys work in this and wrestle in this tension and wrestle with these roles, you guys will really be meeting each other's deepest needs. Do you still have that open, Abby? Mm-hmm. Can you just read the last verse, 33?
Yes. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband.
Cool. So you guys catch that? Husbands, love your wives. Wives, respect your husbands. There's different needs there, right? And we talk about this in our men's times and our women's times. Generally, men are wanting respect. That's our deepest need, is we want to be respected. And for women, their deepest need generally is, I want to be loved. And you see that here. The call for us is to, men, love your wives. Love them. And for women, for wives to respect their husbands. When you guys are walking in these roles, you guys will be meeting those needs. Right? It's so respectful for a wife to be like, you know what? Here's my concerns about this, but I'm going to follow you. I respect you. I'm behind you. I trust you. And then for a husband to be like, you know what, I cherish you. I am so grateful for you. You are amazing. I want to lay my life down for you for the rest of my life because I love you. You are so loved. We'll be meeting each other's deepest needs, and it's beautiful. And I think that's one of the ways we model Christ's love to the church, right? Because that passage talks so much about Christ and the church, and it's using marriage as that picture of oneness and sacrificial love. Okay, I'm going to stop this.